an end run around the Electoral College. They know that they'll never be able to amend the Constitution to get rid of it because the small states won't stand for it. The small states have to be protected from the tyranny of the majority. So what this is really an end run around the Electoral College. They're saying, okay, you can have your Electoral College, but we're going to control how you apply the votes to it. And that's what it's all about. They
so what are they trying to do then? How are they trying to do that then?
Yeah, what they're trying to do is crazy. So it is, again, if they want to do it right, they could try to change the Constitution. But what we're basically doing is passing or joining a compact with certain other states whereby no matter who wins in Michigan, let's say presidential candidate A wins by a huge margin in Michigan, but across the country, presidential candidate B wins. They're saying if no matter what happens in Michigan, all of our electoral votes, all 15 of them, will go to candidate B, even though our people selected candidate A. That's just crazy. I mean, it completely undermines our ability as a state to vote for who we want for and to have those votes count.
Can they do that? Or can, you know, I think most people would be under the impression that, you know, here in Michigan, when we vote for so-and-so, well, that is where our electors have to vote for. But you're saying if that they the would change that?
If the legislature passes a law and the governor signs the law, which is what they're attempting to do right now, they can do that. The U.S. Constitution is very clear. The state legislature gets to make election law. They get to make the rules as to how our electoral college votes are applied. And the legislature makes a law that says that they will be applied in a fashion that conforms to the will of other states, then we have given up control of our own electoral college votes, which rightfully belong to the voters of the state of Michigan.
Well, you having been in Congress, I mean, would this trickle down to other offices beyond president, down to, you know, congressmen, down to state legislators? I mean, can that if they can
well,
do that?
Right. Well, the electoral college only affects the president and vice president.
Right. My fear would be that they could use the same ideas. It wouldn't work technically to do the same thing because. Tom's right. The Electoral College is just for electing the president. But who's to say that we couldn't deem control of Congress in some alternative fashion other than, I mean, this is part of a big drumbeat to sort of water down the role of the states, which is a big problem because our whole structure was built upon having 50 distinct states there.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at there is can the same, you know, thought process and the same effort be done at a lower level, and then it's kind of the slippery slope, right?
It is, absolutely. I don't know what the mechanism for doing that would be, but we've just got to start. I don't want to find out either. We need to just sort of stop this mentality ahead of time and recognize it is as simple as this, that if a presidential candidate wins Michigan, if this compact is signed, that may not be who gets our electoral college. There's no college votes.
They can disenfranchise our entire state.
Yep.
So then who out of this compact, who would control it? Would it be Illinois? Who would it be?
California, New York, Illinois, all the large population states. You know, you look at California. California has, I believe, 53 counties. One county alone, Los Angeles County, has more people than the entire state of Michigan. That's what we're facing. You know, we're a middle-sized state, but compared to the really big states, we're very small. And their ability to influence our election is huge under this compact. We might as well not even bother going through the expense of an election.
So what are you doing to try to make sure the compact does not happen?
Well, right now what we're trying to do is we've got to get all Republicans, we're starting at home with this, on board with this, because There is a group of former Republican legislators and things that for one reason or another, I have no idea why, have embraced this idea. And so I've got a letter coming out that I've worked with Tom and others that has a huge number of the current legislators, but at every level, both the federal level and state level, the Senate and the House and other leaders from around the state, just to sort of solidify our own influence here. Then what we've got to do is we've got to reach out and convince a few Democrats. There are people out there, I know, that if they think for themselves, we'll see the inherent problem with this. But if we can keep all Republicans at home and they get a couple Democrats who agree, we've got this thing stopped, at least for now. That's the strategy.
So what can your constituents do then?
We need to call. I think everybody should call their own legislator just to make sure they're going to stand up for Michigan's electoral rights here. And do it. I'll tell you this. Go at it smartly. There was something that came up the other day that I was in favor of, that all my constituents were in favor of, but they got the message that they thought I was not going to be. And I got some of the rudest letters. I said, guys, I'm on your side. But I did say to them, but when you reach out to somebody who's not on our side, do it sort of professionally or they're not going to listen to you. So I would encourage everybody to send emails to their senators and their representatives and say, look, we really want to stand up for the integrity of Michigan's elections here and the integrity of our electoral college votes. And I just ask them to absolutely engage across the Upper Peninsula and throughout the whole state and do it persuasively, as persuasively as they can.
And if you have friends with the district that has a Republican, a Democrat representative, encourage them to contact their representative and to encourage them to vote no. They have to feel pressure from their constituents as well.
Calling and sending messages, I'll tell you this, no matter what the issue, to your senator or your representative matters. We actually do see these things. And I know a lot of people feel powerless to change things. We absolutely do see them, especially when they're well-reasoned.
Is what they're suggesting even legal, though? You know, is it even something that would stand a court challenge, for example? Because obviously,
I don't know.
Yeah.
That we can't leave it to chance, but there is, Tom will tell you about the Article 1, Section 10 there, because he's right on. But I'll just say that there is a good chance that this wouldn't survive a court challenge, but we don't want to risk it. But Tom, talk to him about the Article 1.
Yeah. Article 1, Section 10 is very clear. It's the last paragraph of Article 1, and it says that no state can enter into any compact or agreement with another state or any foreign power without the consent of the U.S. Congress. And so far, they have not even requested the Congress to consider this. So right now, according to the words of Article 1, Section 10, this whole compact thing is unconstitutional. Now, there's some other court cases that have gone before where the facts may vary in one way or another that might weaken that a little bit. But for the most part, the language is very clear.
Yeah, that was the premise of my question is if, you know, maybe, okay, I'll put it to you this way. Maybe you, Mr. Tom and John, are getting upset about nothing because it's not going to pass in court anyway. What would you say to that argument?
Well, I would say that if it goes to the Supreme Court, given the current makeup, we would have a good chance of prevailing. But John is right. Why take the chance if we don't have to?
And the other thing is, look at what there's precedent where we can get ourselves in trouble. You look at some of the gun control legislation coming through that is very clearly, in my opinion, in opposition to the Second Amendment, but states are getting away with this type of thing and by going around the Constitution. I mean, there's one way to change the Second Amendment. That's to change the Constitution. And people look at that and they realize they're never going to get that through, so they try to go do an end around by doing legislation. That's the same process that's happening here. And you can't count on our court. Our courts have gotten so politicized in recent years. And there's so much sort of judicial activism that we can't count on just our courts making the right decisions. So we need to stop it before it gets to that point.